1, verse 29, we have seen
that man has at this point been given over to a reprobate mind. And beginning with verse 29, we see the results of this. Being, again, present tense, ongoing. Being filled, immersed, and saturated with. And then he makes a long list of a variety of sins. And again, as we saw last week, this is ongoing. It is increasing in degree, being filled. The first thing he mentions, being filled with all unrighteousness. That is a word that depicts sin in general. So it is a generality, it is a general term. It covers everything listed from that point on. It includes all manner of sin. Being filled with all unrighteousness. We see the word in several places in the Word of God. We see in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, what concord hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So there's no agreement between that which is right and that which isn't. They're polar opposites. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is deceiving and leads to, and because it is deceiving, it leads to more unrighteousness. Notice verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is deceiving. There is a pleasure to be had in unrighteousness. But it, like the pleasure of sin, is but for a season. And you have to be deceived in order to take pleasure in unrighteousness, or that which is not right. In 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, again, pleasure and unrighteousness, you think about what it is that the world, the things that the world takes pleasure in, the things that they call a good time. Many times it's that which is not right. In 2 Peter 2, verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. So there's a payment for unrighteousness. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. So again, they find pleasure in unrighteousness. Notice verse 15. Which have forsaken the right way. Well, that's unrighteousness. It is to turn away from the right way. So unrighteousness, again, a general term describing all sin, is that which is anti-right. It is against right. And put it in plain terms, it's wrong. It's whatever is wrong. But that word unrighteousness declares that there has to be a standard by which we measure that which is right. You cannot have unrighteousness. You cannot have right and wrong unless there is some standard by which we measure. This is right, this is wrong. The standard is God. Whatever is against God, whatever is contrary to God, is wrong. The standard is God's Word. Whatever is contrary to God, whatever is contrary to God's Word, is unrighteous. In other words, it's not right. The world will say, well, that's too simplistic. That's fact. God is a standard. God's Word is the standard. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 21, Paul says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Prove all things. That is, subject everything submitted to you to the proper test. And how do we test it? God. Does it go against God? That's how you test it. Is it contrary to God's Word? That's the standard. The standard is not what everybody else is doing. That's not the standard. The standard is God. The standard is God's Word. Notice in Acts chapter 17, Acts 17, verses 11 and 12. These were more noble. He's talking about those of Berea. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And here's how. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And then notice what it says. And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What are they doing? They're testing what they have heard by the word of God. Because that's the standard. Verse 12, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and men, not a few. So there is a fixed pattern for values. Everybody gets their so-called values from somewhere. There's something that determines a person's values. There is a fixed standard for morals. It is God. It is God's Word. There is a fixed standard for ethics. There is a fixed standard for conduct. And again, it's God and His Word. God and His Word are right. Notice Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 128. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. So, God's precepts concerning all things, he says, I esteem them to be right. And I hate every false way. So you have right, you have false. You have right, you have that which is not right. You have truth, you have error or lie. And it's God's Word that is right. And God's Word is fixed. God's Word is unchangeable. It's unaffected. It's unaffected by circumstances. It's unaffected by events. It's inflexible. God's Word is right. So, that is our standard. It may not be everyone's standard, but that is the standard of determining what is right. That will be the standard by which you are judged. People may adopt their own standard, but your own standard is not what you'll be judged by. You'll be judged by God's standard. And whatever is contrary to God's standard is wrong or unrighteous, anti-right. So God and His Word draw very distinct lines. We live in a world that lives in the gray area. That's where they live. That's where they live their whole life. Nothing's really right. Nothing's really wrong. We just live in this gray area. But the standard, God Himself, God's Word, is not gray. It's black and white. It draws very distinct lines. We, of course, are a postmodern society. There's no doubt about that. And it really began, some would argue, but I would say it began back in the 60s. You can put whatever date you want on it, but postmodernism simply declares that truth does not exist in any objective sense, does not exist in an objective sense. What does that mean? Well, truth, first of all, is objective and not subjective. That which is objective is fact. It is a fact. That which is subjective is the representation of the fact. For example, gravity is a fact. It's objective. It is a fact. I can, or someone can, stand up and give a talk about gravity. Now that is a representation of the fact. That's subjective. And this person that gives this talk on gravity may say some things that are absolutely false, but it doesn't change the fact of gravity, because gravity is objective. It doesn't change the fact. And people today can give their opinion on anything, but your opinion, my opinion, does not change the fact. People can give their opinion on what this book says. Their opinion does not change, has no bearing upon the fact. So this is very big when a society says truth does not exist in an objective sense. In other words, there are no absolutes. So if that be so, then one cannot dogmatically say that anything is right or wrong. And that's where we are today. People will say, well, who am I to say what's right or wrong? Well, God's already said what's right and what's wrong. There must be an absolute to base morals upon, to base real values upon. And if there are no absolutes, then all you have is conflicting opinions. No one's right, no one's wrong. We just have a difference of opinion. So a postmodern society declares, since truth does not exist in any objective sense, then there is no absolute moral standard. If you think that is right, then it's right to you. But if you think that's wrong, then it's wrong to you. But it may not be wrong for someone else. There is no absolute moral standard. Now, there's an agenda behind this. The agenda of postmodernism is to make all beliefs valid, to make all opinions valid, to encourage individuals to view all other beliefs as valid. In other words, this group over here, they go against the Word of God, but who am I to say they're wrong? That's the result of a postmodern society. Again, it gets back to little Johnny over here says 2 + 2 = 5. Is he wrong? Well, no, not really. To him, it's 5. It's nonsense. And society falls apart. Every individual's beliefs, values, lifestyle, perception of truth are equal in a postmodern society. And all truth is relative or subjective. And therefore, we need to respect all beliefs. The Bible makes it clear that not all beliefs are equal, that not all claims are equal. Since there is no absolute standard in a postmodern society in their way of thinking, they stress tolerance. We hear much about that today, tolerance. People have to constantly go to sensitivity training because you don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. You must agree that another person's position is just as valid as yours. We're not talking about our position. We're talking about God and His Word. And another person's position is not equal to God's Word. But postmodernism stresses tolerance. But they also at the same time reject dogmatism and absolutism. And the question is always asked, because those who preach tolerance are the most intolerant when it comes to absolute truth. So how would they explain that? Well, if you believe that some beliefs and behaviors are right and other beliefs and behaviors are wrong, you are intolerant. And being intolerant, this is how the postmodern brain works, being intolerant, you are evil. And you are a hate monger. And because you are evil, and because you are a hate monger, we can't tolerate you. And that's why they cannot tolerate Christianity. We live in a postmodern society. But there is this thing called unrighteousness. So there has to be a standard of right. And the postmodern philosophy is everywhere. The public schools are filled with it. Universities are overrun with it. Postmodern thinking, textbooks and classrooms are saturated with it. The media has bought into it wholeheartedly. Politicians are constantly pushing postmodern thinking. And they become cowards because they don't want to be labeled as intolerant. They will be asked a point-blank question. Do you believe it's a woman's right to terminate a pregnancy? And they'll spend 5 minutes answering that question. But they never answer it because they're scared to. That is a yes or no question. That doesn't take 5 minutes. Yes, I do. No, I don't. Very simple. But they're scared because they don't want to be labeled as a bigot. They don't want to be labeled as a hate monger. So they dodge the issue. Politicians are experts at it. The philosophy of postmodernism is revealed in a lot of sayings. Someone says, no one has the right to tell me what's right or wrong. That's a postmodern person speaking. Another individual, they may sit down with their children and they may say, now I can't tell you what's right or wrong. You must decide that for yourself. Well, how ignorant. That someone would tell a child, I can't tell you what's right or wrong. You have to decide that for yourself. Or they will say, it would be wrong for me to impose my morals upon another person. I'm not talking about your morals, we're talking about God. We're talking about God's standard of morality. Another person may say, I have the right to do whatever I want as long as I'm not hurting anyone. That's postmodernism. Or you have to do what you think is right. What you're doing is wrong, but you have to do what you think is right. If you think doing wrong is right, then that's what you have to do. Unrighteousness. Society is overflowed with it. Is saturated with it. And when an individual or a society is given over to a reprobate mind, there is an overwhelming flood of that which is not right. And our society is drowning in that which is not right. It's contrary to God. So he uses this first term, unrighteousness, to describe all sin in a general term. It's anti-right. Again, let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to worship you in spirit and truth, that you would receive all the glory and all the honor in everything we say and do this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.